Scripture says that God our Savior desires all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. But what is the truth? And how do we gain that knowledge? The answer to these questions and more in today's edition of Faith with Father. Living Bread Radio presents Faith with Father, a program aimed at teaching today's culture the truth about the Catholic faith. And now here's your host, Tim Perry.
Hello, and welcome to this edition of Faith with Father. I'm your host, Tim Perry, and with me today in studio is Father Don Feit, a retired priest of the Diocese of Youngstown. Welcome, Father.
Thank you, Tim. It's a delight to once again join you.
Yeah, we appreciate you coming out of retirement.
Well, yeah, that's a rather interesting term, isn't it?
I'm sure you're very busy, and we appreciate you taking the time to be with us today. We're going to continue our discussion from the UCAT, the Youth Catechism of the Catholic Church. We're in Section 2 about how we celebrate the mysteries of our faith. And we've been discussing liturgy, and today we're going to talk about how important is Sunday as Catholics. Could you expound on that a little bit, Father?
Well, that's like saying, Tim, to the human body, how important is your heart?
Pretty important.
Yeah, that's right.
Very important.
That's right. Sunday is at the heart of what we do in liturgy. Huh? If liturgy is that official worship that we give as the church, as the body of Christ, in which he leads us in our worship of the Father, Sunday is at the heart of it all. We can celebrate liturgies, even of the Mass, on other occasions, like a wedding and so forth, but Sunday is absolutely the center of life as we Catholics perceive it. We see it as the day of the Lord's resurrection. Huh? It's interesting how we've said several times this week, our liturgy has so many roots in Jewish liturgy. And so what happened if the Sabbath, Shabbat, huh? if the seventh day was the day of rest, and the day of to this day, people of the temple will come together on the evening of or the morning of the Sabbath day. How did we end up being on Sunday? I guess more than anything else, it's because the first Sabbath was to celebrate all the goodness of what God had done in the 6 days of creation. And then when he reached the end of it all, says Genesis, huh? And God saw it was very good. And so he rested, not so as to say no more activity, but no, he rests in the joy of what has been accomplished, and especially the last creation, human beings. Huh? So if that Sabbath was always a celebration of creation, for Jewish people, giving thanks to God for who we are as his people. Well, when God became a man, and that man took on in his life all that we are, but he also took on even our sins. You know, he bore our sins for us. And not too many weeks ago, we were celebrating how Jesus died for us as a gift to the Father of atonement so that we could be saved from our sins and so that paradise could be ours again this day, he said as he was dying. He used that term paradise because he was reminding us that what was celebrated in the first Sabbath, now in Sunday, we have a new Sabbath day. We call it the eighth day of the week because Sunday for us, day of resurrection. Huh? Jesus did not stay dead on that cross. Huh? There was a day of rest, literally, the year that he died. But then on Easter morning, that was the day when they discovered the empty tomb and they began to see those who were chosen as his close friends and witnesses. They began to experience the presence of the risen Jesus. That was so electrifying, I think, to those first Christians. They couldn't help but to get together on Sunday, even when they were still at first very comfortable and welcomed as Jewish people in their synagogues. We know eventually, sad to say, the animosities, the difficulties got so great that they weren't as welcome. But they were getting together on at the synagogue on Saturday, but then again on Sunday morning, very early before going to work, they would gather wherever they could to celebrate the resurrection of Jesus by the breaking of the bread. And little by little, it got joined together, huh? Mm-hmm. The liturgy of his word, explaining what God has done for us, and then the actual breaking of the bread. So Sunday is the day we do that. It's the Sunday of Easter. Every Sunday is a little Easter.
Another point that the Catechism makes is that man was created for joy. And if we didn't have a day that was designated as the Lord's Day, we'd be working constantly every day without a break, not only to rest, but more importantly, to take time out for God.
Exactly.
To worship God. Yep. Otherwise, we'd just be working continually. Yep. And it says, we must learn on earth how to celebrate properly or else we won't know what to do in heaven, because heaven is an endless Sunday.
That's right. So I always, when people say, well, do I have to go that often, you know, every Sunday? I says, well, you know, if you hope to go to heaven, do you? You know, well, sure, Father, I hope to. Well, what are you going to do there? We're going to be
worshiping God.
That's right. We're going to be praising God. We're going to be loving him. We're going to be singing his praises.
Joyfully.
And
with blissfully and joyfulness, right. So, and happiness.
So this is almost like the training season, huh? On this earth right now. We're preparing ourselves for the heavenly liturgy. And so we need very much to learn how to set aside some of those worries and even responsibilities that are good and wonderful that we are committed to and called to even. But most of all, the call to worship. Isn't that number one, really, to worship the Lord? Didn't Jesus say before he said, love your neighbor, he said, love God with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind, and that's so hard for us. So Sunday is a way every week of being recommitted to giving my whole heart, my soul, my voice. I tell people that don't like to sing at Sunday Mass, I say, you know, Tim, just take your, open the book. Would you be so kind as to just look at the words and at least let the text touch your heart? You know, do a little texting that way, I guess. Maybe you're not ready yet to put that thought into singing because you don't think you can do it very well, but mm-hmm. at least don't just tolerate the singing. You know, put your whole heart and soul into it, because that's what Sunday's all about, putting our heart and soul into our love for the Lord and our gratitude to the Lord. Huh? Praise, thanksgiving, and we always start in the Catholic Church, don't we, with a little, oh Lord, I'm not worthy of all this. So we start with a prayer for mercy, and then we also make sure we think of others and we offer intercessions. So everything that worship is, how we need it as a human people.
And once again, by being obedient to God's command to worship him on Sunday, we're the beneficiaries of that.
That's right.
By doing what we're asked, it's not for God's benefit, because God doesn't become more almighty or greater,
that's right,
because of me worshiping him.
That's right.
I get closer to God and I benefit because of being obedient to what he asks us to do.
And don't you think, Tim, we get sort of caught up in all the things of this earth that I remember on Easter we had a reading that said, put yourself, seek the things that are above, St. Paul said. You know, I don't think he meant leave this earth right now, but we have to. There's another dimension of life that we can so easily be missing, and mm-hmm. we need to constantly be turning toward the Lord. You know, John Paul II, the late Pope that we so many of us loved, he was so concerned about the fact that he noticed many Christians were no longer worshiping regularly on Sunday that he wrote a whole letter. One of his letters was about Sunday, the day of the Lord. And he has a comment in there. He says, you know what, folks? He says, I think a lot of us have gotten used to what we now call the weekend, you know. What are you going to be doing this weekend? And that's the way we think. Well, you know, this game and that show or this meal or this catching up on the this or that. But he says the weekend has become the ultimate experience of rest, I guess. We've forgotten that the real call of the weekend is not to just sit back and relax and have fun. It's to get deeper into who we are as a people. So everything I need by way of faith and love and tenderness and commitment and all that, Sunday calls me to all that when I come together with my brothers and sisters.
Another way that we've heard of doing that, Father, is something that's called the Liturgy of the Hours. Could you take a few minutes and explain what that is?
Sure. Tim, I'm holding, I had it right in front of me here, a book that I've been praying with ever since I was called into the priesthood of the Catholic Church. I was asked to pray this Liturgy of the Hours. The hours means all the hours of the day. And the book is made up of seven different sort of pattern. The Jewish people had seven times a day when they liked to pray. And so my book here is structured around, first of all, morning prayer and evening prayer. The Portuguese have an old saying that a garment that is not hemmed in is more likely to unravel. And so we say a day that is not hemmed in by prayer at the beginning and the end is a little more likely to unravel as a day, huh, in my life. So the Liturgy of the Hours is structured most importantly around morning prayer every day and evening prayer. Now, there are other prayers offered in here, too, for midday prayer or mid-morning or mid-afternoon. There's a nighttime before I go to bed. There's another section called the Office or the Prayers of the Readings. Every day I'm offered a chance to read continuously through a book of the Bible and also then to read a commentary on a theme that comes from one of the fathers of the church, the saints of the church, people who have reflected on these Bible themes and have given me these readings. So probably the heart of the Liturgy of the Hours as it goes through these seven different options that are given to people. Now, me as a priest, I'm expected to structure my day in such a way that I normally work real hard to find time to pray every morning and every night and sometime during the day. You as a layperson, I think if you could start, Tim, any layperson by saying, I'm going to rework at morning prayer more. I'm going to get a book that has morning prayer. And what's it going to be in it? The prayers of Jesus, huh? Which are the Psalms. Huh? The whole heart of the Liturgy of the Hours are the Psalms, mm-hmm. along with hymns and litanies for different things we want to pray for, and then the readings that are offered from the Bible. But I would say 90% of the time that I spend in prayer here is with the Psalms.
And that kind of unites us with our Jewish brothers and sisters because they typically would pray seven times a day.
That's right.
So this is blending right in with that practice of the Old Testament.
And I think that's such a wonderful call to me when I think that when I'm praying a psalm, oh my gosh, I'm praying with the prayers of David's family, huh? We often attribute the Psalms to him. But my Jewish brothers and sisters, these are their prayers. These were the prayers of Jesus, and they're the church's prayers too. So we have so much that binds us together. We need to begin seeing that more and more. And I think that's why people are so thrilled that the most recent popes we've had have all been working real hard to say, we are brothers and sisters. Let's get together more.
So the Liturgy of the Hours is not only the prayers of the church, but it's prayers of the people of the church,
yes.
Not just the laity.
Yeah.
Not just the clergy.
Right.
The clergy and the lady both can participate.
Right.
Beautiful. Well, again, Father, we appreciate you taking the time to share your thoughts with us on the liturgy and on the Liturgy of the Hours. And I'd like to thank you for joining me and joining us today. This is Tim Perry. Until next time, may the light of the Father shine upon you and yours. Bye for now.
This has been Faith with Father, a production of Living Bread Radio in Canton, Ohio. For an audio archive of this program, log on to livingbreadradio.com and click on Faith with Father. If you have a question or comment about today's program, email us at askfather@livingbreadradio.com. And join us again next time for another edition of Faith with Father.